The people who shout are the people who are very nervous because they are not so sure that they are right after all. Have you ever talked to a certain Christian worker and have you noticed that the moment you question him a bit, he gets more nervous and more excited and more aggressive? And the more he can't answer your question, the more aggressive he gets. You are resisting God, says
Pete.
Your heart is hardened. And so now, because he can't answer your question, he has to crush you with this kind of statements. I would like to hear the Christian worker who has the calmness to say, now, if what I say to you is true, you best consider your position. Wow, you say, that's putting it too weakly. We got to put it really hard. But when you speak to a person who knows the truth and understands the truth, you will notice a certain calmness about him. He is in no hurry to win his case. But those in error are those who begin to turn red in the face. I always remember this long debate, the public debate that I was challenged to by some Jehovah's Witnesses in Scotland. I didn't challenge them, they challenged me to open debate. I said, okay. Because I accepted only for the sake of the other people, not because I enjoyed any arguments. And that illustrates exactly this point. The more they were losing, the more they got red in the face. The more they could not prove their case from the Word of God, the more they lost their temper. And by the end, of course, they were steaming in a state of bad temper. And there were we who were speaking forth God's Word calm and cool as the truth will win through in the end. We are not in a hurry. I have always said that to be a Christian, you must have the attitude of loving the truth. Not fighting for this doctrine, arguing for that doctrine. I am always willing to accept that if my doctrine is wrong, I am most grateful to you if you correct me. Because it is the truth that we love. If what I say is right, I don't have to get red in the face. It will come through. Or if the person doesn't want to hear it, then I will leave the argument as it is. My getting red in the face will not convince him. And I learned this wonderful attitude from the Lord Jesus. He loves the truth. He is not fighting for his reputation. A person with Jesus' attitude, you can slander him as he is slandered in the most serious manner, and he doesn't get angry. That's amazing. You try sometimes saying that to some pastor, you are speaking of the devil. I think you will be slung out of the church. You will be in big trouble. Oh, I don't suggest that you should try that. But if you ever observed anyone saying that to him, I think it would be very interesting to watch his reaction. I pray to God that we might react in exactly the same way as the Lord Jesus. Who tries to help them with speaking clear, plain logic. And does not threaten or abuse. And the reason why I spend some time on this is this. Because if you are going to deal with Satan, and you are going to lose your temper, that's the quickest way to fall into his snare. That's exactly what he wanted you to do. To do that is the quickest way to fall into his pit. But if you don't love yourself, if you don't love your own reputation, you only love the truth, whatever happens to your reputation, you will not fall into Satan's pit. Now he comes to the third point that he answers to these Pharisees who accuse him, and says, now the third point is, how can you enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man? Says, you know what I am doing? By casting out the demon, I am binding the strong man. Now what he is doing is calmly explaining to these blind and bitter Pharisees, he is quietly explaining to them what he is doing. He says, the kingdom of God coming is to set you free. Because right now you are bound by the strong man. Who is the strong man? Well, that is Satan himself. Now notice the Lord Jesus' description of Satan. Today I often hear pastors saying Satan is a defeated, crushed enemy. But the implication presumably is that you don't have to worry about him. He is of no account whatsoever. That is a dangerous half-truth. The Lord Jesus does not underestimate his enemy. He describes him as a strong man, not just a man, but a strong one. And what is more, a strong man, as we compare Luke and Matthew together, who is fully armed. A very impressive sight, a strong man, fully armed, with his armor, his sword in his hand, all his weapons at the ready. The Lord's teaching is very different from that of many pastors. He does not say, you can disregard Satan, he is crushed, he is beaten, you can just walk over him. You will do nothing of the sort, I tell you, my friend. Satan is still armed today. He is still well equipped. And he is still able to do you tremendous damage. That is why the Apostle Paul in Ephesians 6 says, put on the whole armor of God, and having done everything, stand. He doesn't even say advance, at least stand your ground.
So,
Paul is saying that even if you are fully equipped with the whole armor of God, you might just manage to stand, never mind advance against the enemy. You can see that the servant of God, this Apostle Paul, is a well-experienced spiritual soldier. He says we are not ignorant of his devices. We know he is a powerful, he is a cunning enemy. And so what we find is this. Paul is warning, and Apostle Peter does the same thing. The Apostle Peter warns us that in 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 8, that your enemy, the devil, is going around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Notice the picture. A lion is a very powerful animal. Peter does not underestimate the enemy and paint him like some snail or some worm. No, it is a lion, very well armed with strong teeth. And he is seeking, and Peter is speaking to Christians, whom among you he may devour. The non-Christians are already under his bondage. He is talking about Christians to watch out. Devour means to eat up, to utterly destroy you. But today we have another doctrine in the church that assures us that there is no danger whatsoever. We seem to be full of teachings in the church today that is designed to lull us to sleep in the midst of battle. It seems to me that Satan has really advanced into the church. We are told that once you are saved, you are always saved, and therefore Satan could never devour you. You don't worry about such things. And as for why should you worry putting on the whole armor of God? Because after all, I mean, you are invincible. You're once saved, always saved, means that all the fiery darts of the devil, what can he do to you? And so what was meant to be a comforting doctrine turns out to be a doctrine of destruction. If we cannot be devoured by the roaring lion, what is Peter doing to us? Is he just talking nonsense? Is he just trying to make empty threats on Satan's behalf? But Peter didn't say, "Watch out, your great adversary, the lion, might give you a lick on the hand." He didn't say he might come and nibble your ear. Or that he might even chew your foot a little bit. He said nothing of the kind. He said he will eat you up, he will devour you. But we are told, "Oh, no, don't worry. You're once saved, you're always saved. Why worry about this?" Let me ask you, is this a doctrine of God or not of God? I let you to judge for yourself. It's little wonder when today we preach to Christians about Ephesians 6, they say, "Why all the fuss putting on the armor of God, putting on the helmet of salvation? What for? We are okay without the helmet, without the armor, we are saved for good." And yet whenever at times I warn about such a doctrine of once saved, always saved, people say, "Hey, isn't that a church doctrine?"
警告嗰啲人信呢個教訓一次得救永遠得救嘅時候，佢哋就話：你哋小心，呢啲係一個教會嘅教訓。
I don't know what church doctrine it is, but I am speaking about the Word of God.
我係從來唔會係點樣嚟到研究嗰啲教會嘅教訓，我所思想嘅就係神自己嘅説話。
I am not concerned about doctrines that cannot be proved from the Word of God.
我從來唔會關心到嗰啲係唔能夠喺神嘅話語之中揾到企腳嘅教訓。
My beloved brothers and sisters, I am concerned about you, not about some doctrine.
親愛的弟兄姊妹，我所關心嘅係你哋，而唔係嗰啲嘅教訓。
What worries me is that some people are more concerned about doctrine than about the souls of the people.
但係令我最憂心嘅就好多人佢哋係關心嗰啲教訓，而唔係關心嗰啲人嘅靈魂。
And as we saw last week, that is exactly what the Pharisees do. They are more concerned about their doctrines than about the lives of people.
亦都等於同我哋上一星期所提及到法利賽人佢哋行為一樣，就係佢哋係好關心佢哋嘅教訓，而唔關心到人嘅生命。
This is the reason why they hated Jesus so much, because Jesus trampled on their doctrines.
所以呢個原因就係點解佢哋咁憎恨耶穌基督，因為耶穌基督係踐踏佢哋嘅教訓。
And he did so because he loved the people so much.
耶穌基督點解咁做？因為佢就愛佢嘅人民。
You see, right on after this, in verses 8 onwards.Verse 9 in this chapter, chapter 12, which we didn't preach on today. You will find that there was a man with a withered hand in the church, in the synagogue.
我们在那里第十二章第九节一路看下去都看得到，开始的时候是有一个人在个会堂里面，他是干枯了一只手的。
And the Lord Jesus said, is it lawful to heal a man to do a good thing on the Sabbath day or not? He said to the Pharisees, you Bible scholars, you answer me.
咁耶穌基督就問嗰啲法利賽人，問佢話喺神嘅話語方面，喺安息日醫好一個病人係可唔可以咧
？But according to the Pharisees, church doctrine did not allow it. You do not heal sick people on Sabbath day. No.
但係對於嗰啲法利賽人嚟講，喺教會嘅教訓方面嚟講，你係唔能夠喺安息日做任何嘅嘢，唔能夠喺安息日嚟到係醫好一個病人。
That's a day of rest. No work, and healing is work.
安息日是一个安息的日子，是绝对不能够做任何的工作，包括医治。
And so Jesus said, is it lawful? Is it lawful to heal according to you? They said no.
耶稣基督就问他们，那对你们来说，这个是不是合法的呢？他们的反应就是不是。
Jesus said, look, as you read in that passage, if one of your sheep fell into the pit on the Sabbath day, would you leave that sheep to die in the pit on the Sabbath day?
咁耶穌基督跟住落去就問佢哋：如果你中間係有一隻羊喺安息日跌咗落個坑入邊，你係咪等佢喺坑入邊死咗算咧
？He says every one of you would go and rescue your sheep from the pit on the Sabbath day。
咁耶穌基督就話俾佢哋聽話：你哋當中每一個人都一定會去將你嘅羊救翻出嚟嘅。
And he says to these, how much more is a person of greater value than a sheep？
咁跟住落去就係講人比羊係貴重得幾多倍咧
？You read all that in verse 12。
你可以喺第十二節嗰度係睇到呢方面嘅。
Of this chapter 12。
喺馬太福音12:12第十二節。
Church doctrine, the synagogue doctrine, the doctrine of the religious people did not allow it because they said our Bible exegesis, our Bible exposition tells us that this cannot be done.
所以嗰啲法利賽人，佢哋嗰啲人嘅反應就係話呢啲係唔能夠做嘅。佢哋自己嘅解經就話到呢啲唔能夠做。
It was based on the Bible. Their doctrine was based on the Bible, so they claimed.
他们就是说到自己的教训是在圣经里面出来的。
And Jesus told them that any doctrine that regarded people less than the doctrine itself was no doctrine of God.
但耶稣基督跟他们说就是说任何一个的教训如果看见人是比这个教训少的话就从来不会出于神的教训。
He says any doctrine that does not understand that it is mercy that is more important than sacrifice, religious performance. Mercy is more important than religious performance. If you didn't understand that, you have not understood God's word.
耶稣基督又讲到，如果你系唔明白，怜恤系比祭祀系更加重要嘅话，你从来都唔会明白神嘅话语。
And what is mercy？
咁究竟怜恤系乜嘢咧
？Can you say that it is merciful to tell a person that out there is a lion going about, and I'll say to the person, I'm going to be very merciful. You know, just walk out there. You know, the lion can't do anything to you. No, he's powerless. He's got teeth, but he never touch you.
咁如果你話一個人如果出邊係有獅子嘅話，你對嗰個人講話啊唔使緊要，出去都唔緊要，佢雖然有利牙，但係從來唔會咬你嘅話，咁你係咪唔信咧
？Now either you don't believe Satan is a lion。
咁只有第一，你係唔相信撒旦係一隻獅子。
Who has the power to destroy you？
呢只獅子係有力量係能夠毀滅你。
And if you don't believe that, you have not believed the word of God。
咁如果你係唔相信呢點嘅話，即係等於你唔相信神嘅説話。
Or else you believe that he can destroy you. But you won't believe that if you are told that you are once saved, always saved, you can never be hurt. I ask you to choose which is true from the Word of God. Because they cannot be both true at the same time. They are contradictory. But if you think that a lion cannot hurt Christian, just let your little child sometime go out there into the safari park. I would like to see if you believe it or not. It is absurd to teach such untruth to people today, because either to underestimate the enemy or to say an untruth by saying that the enemy could not hurt us even though he is powerful. The Lord Jesus taught his disciples to pray, "Lead us not into temptation, deliver us from the evil one." And that prayer was for Christians, not for unbelievers. But we are assured that there is no need to worry about any deliverance from the evil one. Because once delivered, always delivered. And the Apostle Peter and the Apostle Paul were all making up a great fuss about nothing. Or at most, you know, Satan might chew your fingers a bit, and that's a painful experience, but he can't do any harm to you. Paul says, put on the breastplate right in front of your heart, so that Satan's fiery arrows will not shoot right into your heart. And when his arrow shoots into your heart, and let me tell you, it's not just chewing your fingers. You know what happens when an arrow goes into your heart. I ask you to consider God's word. I don't mind what the church wants to say about me, or some pastors want to say about me. I am concerned about your eternal welfare, brothers and sisters. So the Lord Jesus describes Satan as a strong man. He does not underestimate him, who can do tremendous harm because he is fully armed. As you will see in the parallel passage in Luke chapter 11, verses 21-22. But the other thing about saying that he is strong is that his authority over his subjects is not in doubt. Not only is he powerful himself, but he has authority. And the third point we see about Satan is that he is described as a person, not as some kind of thing. Now, evil has no abstract existence any more than good has abstract existence. Good and evil do not have abstract existence. In other words, I cannot point here and say, look, here is a piece of evil. Evil has no existence apart from persons. And good has no existence apart from persons. There is no such thing as good in the universe unless there are persons who are good. In other words, if good exists only in human beings, then if there are no human beings, there would be neither good nor bad. I trust this is not very deep philosophy that I'm giving to you right now. Now that means also too that you understand why the Bible says only God is good. All goodness has its existence in God. He is the embodiment of goodness. Without him there wouldn't be such a thing as good. And the Bible tells us that Satan is the embodiment of evil. If there were no Satan, there would be no such thing in an enduring sense of evil. And now here the Lord Jesus goes on to say, now the only way you can set people free is to bind Satan. He has to have his power cramped and limited. Now we must not get the idea that what we understand here is that Satan is once and for all bound. There is no Bible doctrine like this. This binding of Satan, and many preachers have given us the idea that Satan was bound at Calvary, and since then he has forever been bound. And because Satan was bound at Calvary, so now Satan is a poor, impotent prisoner of war with his hands tied behind his back. Now if that were the case, again, what Paul is warning us about in Ephesians 6 and what Peter is warning us about in 1 Peter 5 is all pointless. Satan is being bound in individual cases. The Lord is not saying he is now bound for good at the present time. What is meant here, the Lord Jesus is saying, for example, when this person here, this man who was both blind and dumb, is set free, it is in this instance Satan is bound. His power over this person has been destroyed. We are fighting a battle of liberation from soul to soul, from person to person. We are fighting right now a spiritual battle of Stalingrad. You know that Stalingrad became the epitome, the picture of a hand-to-hand, inch-for-inch battle. You remember that it was the Germans and the Russians fought over Stalingrad actually for inch by inch. They advanced a few feet every day. So bitter was the fighting. They had to fight over every stone, over every room, over every street, on from house to house, room to room. Now you might say that one side was stronger than the other, for sure. One side is stronger than the other. It is true that Christ's power is victorious over Satan. But it is not victorious without battle. At Calvary, the power of the enemy was breached. That was the turning point. In history, there is at every point in battle a certain a turning point in the battle. Up to a certain point, two powers, the outcome is uncertain. But one particular battle may decide the issue once and for all. From there on, the battle goes one way. There was a point in the Second World War when everybody knew that Germany had it, was finished.
喺第二次世界大戰入邊都有一場嘅戰役，係喺呢場戰役入邊，人都睇得到德國係已經冇曬希望。
But it didn't mean that the Germans put down their arms and surrendered from that point.
但係唔係等於喺嗰一件事之後啊，嗰啲德國兵已經擺低曬佢哋嘅武器，係唔再打啦。
From that point on, the battle was every bit as bitter as before, but the victory was on the Allied side.
就係自從嗰件事之後，佢哋嗰啲盟國係想要打德國軍隊之後，一樣係咁困難。只不過佢哋係差唔多已經穩操勝券。
At from the point of Calvary, from that point on, Satan was defeated.
就喺耶穌基督釘十字架嘅時候，撒旦係已經被耶穌基督戰敗。
But it didn't mean that he put down his guns.
但唔係即係等於撒旦已經係放下佢一切嘅武器。
He has not surrendered.
佢係從來都未曾係完全係投降過。
He is going on to fight.
佢係要繼續嚟到堅持。
And although from that point on in Allied history, in the battle of the Second World War, the Germans were sure to lose, still they took casualty after casualty, and many Allied soldiers lost their lives.
就係喺，譬如喺第二次世界大戰入邊，經過嗰一件事件之後，明軍已經注定一定要贏噶啦，但係佢哋都唔係鬆懈，仲係要一路咁樣嚟到繼續爭戰。
By the time there was the Normandy invasion, of course.The Allies were pretty confident of winning, otherwise they wouldn't have launched that invasion. But how many laid down their lives on the beaches of Normandy never to stand up again? In the same way, Satan is bound to lose. He has been defeated at Calvary.
咁同一個原則方面都講到係，撒旦已經係注定一定要失敗。
But he has not surrendered.
但係佢仲未曾投降。
His weapons are still deadly.
就係佢嘅武器仲係能夠致人死命。
And his aim is very good. His aim.
而且佢嘅眼界都好好。
He is well practiced in warfare.
而家佢喺戰爭方面係非常之有經驗。
And that is why Paul is warning. Yes, the enemy is defeated, but I tell you, he can take a lot of casualties out of you.
咁所以點解保羅就喺呢度勸告我哋？佢話冇錯，我哋嘅仇敵係已經係被戰敗，但係佢哋仲有好多力量嚟到令我哋傷害。
Satan will only be fully bound, we are told in the Bible.
我哋喺聖經入邊睇得到，撒旦係唯一一個時候係全部係被捆制咧。
Only when we come to Revelation chapter 20.
就係只有我哋去到啟示錄第二十章嘅時候。
There's a long way to go yet.
我哋仲有好長一段時間先去到。
When you expound the Bible, you must expound it accurately.
如果你係講解聖經嘅時候，你要好準確咁跟住聖經嚟講。
In Revelation chapter 20 and verse 2, that is only then Satan will be bound.
只有喺啟示錄第二十章第二節嘅時候，只有喺嗰陣時，撒旦先將佢哋被捆綁。
Only then will Satan be thrown into the pit.
只有喺嗰個時候，就係撒旦先至被仍喺個無底坑裏邊。
But it means that up to then he is still very much around.
但係喺嗰一刻之前，佢仲係時時喺佢周圍。
And he still has tremendous power to inflict damage. He has power to kill. Power to devour. He can eat you up. Don't make any mistake about it. He can shoot his fiery dart straight into your heart and don't let anybody tell you otherwise. He can literally wipe you out if you are not on your guard.
如果你唔係時時刻警醒嘅話，佢真真正正係能夠令個整個毀滅你。
The Lord Jesus time and again told his disciples, "Watch and pray, watch and pray, lest you fall into temptation."
耶穌基督時時刻都同佢嘅門徒講話，你要警醒禱告，免得入咗迷惑。
Time and again he warned his disciples, "Be careful, the enemy is powerful."
佢同佢哋嘅門徒講，就話你時時刻都要係小心，因為你嘅仇敵係好有力量。
But which preacher today warns us to watch and pray? Watch and pray for what?
咁邊一個今日嘅牧師係叫我哋係警醒禱告、警醒禱告為咗乜嘢咧？
You don't have to watch and pray with a defeated, crushed enemy. You don't worry about him.
如果你嘅仇敵係已經係一無所作嘅、冇曬能力嘅話，我哋使乜要係警醒咧？
I beg of you, brothers and sisters, to notice the difference of this teaching.
我請你哋真係能夠明白呢兩個嘅教訓嘅唔同處。
Because your eternal welfare depends on it.
因為你將來嘅生命都係喺呢方面有好大嘅關係。
Like the Lord Jesus, I beg of you to watch and pray. Because the enemy will be able to wipe you out if you don't. Don't you go and say, I'm a Christian, and so I'm okay now for good. No matter how I behave, how I live, I can sin as much as I like, I get a little bit hurt, I get a little disciplined, but I'll be okay, my place is reserved for me in heaven. Don't you believe it, my friends? Because if you believe that, on that day I will have the sadness of not seeing you there. Satan loves the kind of doctrine. There's nothing the boxer loves so much than the other guy puts his guard down. That's all you need. The kind of doctrine that tells you, put your guard down, there's no danger. And yet there are preachers today and pastors who will get red in the face defending a doctrine which says once saved, always
saved.
To teach a doctrine that tells you that you don't have to watch and pray, you can be complacent, you have no need to worry. Such a doctrine is a disaster of all time. If I went into the boxing ring with somebody, I would just be so happy if somebody tells, you know, this guy coming in the ring with you, he's useless. You don't worry about him. You give him one punch and he'll just go flat down. So, since he knows he's going to box with me, he says, oh, I'm being told this guy is a pushover, so I don't have to train hard, I don't have to work hard, I don't have to do my workouts. That's okay. I'll just take it easy. Just feed myself with cream cake. Oh, that would be great. And I need somebody just to treat me, to indoctrinate my opponent like that. In fact, what I would do is I would get one of my friends to pretend to be the friend of the other guy and say, you know this guy, he is nothing. Don't you worry about him. You don't have to train every day, don't worry about it. You step in the ring, you just blow at him, he'll go right down. And so when I come in the ring with him, here he is overweight, flabby, untrained, and he's taking life easy, just with a big smug smile on his face. Oh, that will just suit me fine. That's just good for me. And so when I'm going to fight him, and that's what Satan has done to us, do you see? Satan has told us through all kinds of well-intentioned preachers saying, you don't worry about Satan, oh, he's a pushover. You just at him and Satan runs for his life, you know, because we are the children of God. You don't worry about such things like Satan. I tell you, when you get into that ring with Satan, he will make mincemeat out of you. Little wonder I find Christians, they became Christians at some winter conference, at some summer conference. They became Christians 1 year ago. I ask you, where are they today? Where? I tell you, Satan has just wiped them out. With any doctrine, once saved, always saved, you take your doctrine, whatever you like, 80% of them are wiped out in the first year, doctrine or no doctrine. If you don't think my statistics are accurate, you go and check the statistics yourself. And you go and ask these people, these guys made profession of faith, they put their trust in Jesus, where are they today with your doctrine once they was? Tell me, where are they today? What happened to my friend? They have no answer to this question. Or they will say, well, he never believed in the first place. Yet I know these people, you may have been there, they came forward with tears running down their face, and you are telling me now they didn't really believe? Satan has got his day, hasn't he? He has really made mincemeat of a great part of the church. And those poor Christians who managed to stand on their feet, you watch them come out with black eyes, broken jaws, limping and walking on crutches. Victorious Christians they're supposed to have been. Just look at those Christians who have been Christians in the churches for a few years. What do they look like? Beaten, crippled people that they are. I beg of you again, I say it once more time, watch and pray. Because your enemy is a roaring lion. Very powerful. Notice he's not afraid to roar. Which shows just how little he's afraid of you. Normally you know that a lion doesn't roar when it stalks his prey. He creeps on his prey for the attack. But it only roars when it has complete confidence that its enemy, its prey is cornered. It can't get away anyway. Or it roars if it's injured, it's hurt. If it's injured, if it's hurt, it will roar too. But either way, a wounded lion or a lion that has cornered its prey is very, very dangerous. The hunters know that a wounded lion is much more dangerous than a lion that's not wounded. So either way, watch out for your enemy. If you lose a boxing round, that's a very small thing. But here you stand to lose your soul. Unless Christ is in you, I say that one more time too, you don't stand a chance against Satan. You can say to Satan, I believe in Jesus. That won't impress you. It won't impress him, I tell you. There is only one kind of person that commands some respect with Satan. That is the person in whom Jesus lives. In whom the Holy Spirit abides in fullness. Then it will be like the Apostle John said, he that is in you is mightier than he that is in the world. When Christ lives in you, you can advance forwards. Then you can win the battle against Satan. I pray that you understand this. In your own strength, you will never survive. But only in close fellowship with Jesus, with Him living in you, you will win. Let us be quiet before God in prayer.
我们一起在神面前静默祷告。